So, did you just say sorry? The song might, the song might obviously operates in a different fashion as typical churches, if you will. We believe in a what we call an open style fellowship, which is basically get comfortable. We honor the Lord with our presence, and we honor, and He honors us with His presence. We believe that's kind of how it works, and we worship Him, sing to Him, bring Him glory and honor. But we also have an openness that we think is I think a natural thing, which is interaction. I'm not here, and Glenn's not up here to put on a show, give you a sermon, and you sit and be quiet. If you have a question, a concern, a thought, we encourage you to ask it. If I catch you talking and asking your neighbor, I'll probably butt in and say, hey, what are you asking him? Because I want to know, because maybe it's something that's important that we need to talk about, and that's okay. It's A-okay. We encourage it even. And if God wants to go in a direction that is different than the direction that I felt to go, then that's okay too. I hope, right? Hello? You guys with me this morning?
I'm with you.
Okay. Again, this is a different kind of service, so... You know, that yesterday, it was actually just Friday. I got to share this, and because there's a passage of scripture that I'm going to hit on for a minute and then go to some other ones. Friday, I was driving out of our warehouse thrift shop, and it was on First Street, which is, if you guys know that, I'm trying to give you the demographics of where you're at so you can maybe some of you have driven this road before and you know exactly what happens here in this scenario. But as you pull out right on First Street and you're getting ready to turn right onto Highway 65, which would be right there, the Zebra Town Deli is right there on the corner. And I'm going off and doing my thing and doing stuff that I do on a regular day. And there's two cars in front of me. And the light turns green. And as the light turns green, you guys catching me and following me a little bit on what's happening here? Okay, the light turns green, so it's okay for all of us to go. But here's the scenario that's happening is there's cars coming across that need to turn left, and if you've ever been in that situation, the right of way for that person to turn left has to wait for all these other people to go that are turning right. And I know that's the right thing to do, and that's the right of way in driving. That's the way that we're supposed to drive, correct? You guys follow me on this scenario, okay? Because if you're not there, then I want to get you there. So, don't confuse me. Yeah, I just said you could ask questions, and I said, shut up. No, I'm just teasing, that's it. And so, I'm behind two cars, and the front car decides to do what I always like to do myself, because for some reason you get these people that are stuck, and there's this mindset behind it. They get stuck over there and they can never turn left because they gotta wait for all these cars, and then the light turns red and then they're stuck there, or they're in the middle of the intersection and they're blocking the intersection from all the other people now that want to turn left to go down First Street, and then there's this big like, everybody's frustrated because they gotta wait. Well, it's very simple. I know this is, I just need you to follow me, because it really makes a lot of sense in the spirit when I do this. And I allow the people that are turning left in front of me to go, and I wait at a green light. And I say, come on, go. And then people sometimes are looking at me like, but it's not the right thing to do. So they're waiting and looking, and I'm just like, keep going, you'll go. It's okay, because when that light turns, I have, because there's all these people turning now, it's a clear path for me to go that direction. It's very simple. It's common sense to me to drive that way, basically thoughtful of somebody else and not just self-centered in the, but it's the right of way. Is that a compliment? I think. I'm not sure. I'll receive it as one. No, let's not ask George. No, let's not. I've, let's go on. So here's the scenario. You guys following me with me tracking with me for a second. As I'm waiting, I am three cars behind. There's two cars in front of me. The one car decides to do what I've always done, which is, it sounds like Leslie does the same thing, and maybe some of you do it, so I encourage you to do this. It's just be a considerate driver. It's not that difficult, because from what I understand in here, I'm going to digress for a second. I'll go back to my story. Life is made up of moments. I don't know if you realize this or not, but life isn't that thing that's somewhere over there, somewhere over here that we eventually get to after we do all this other stuff. Is not life made up of moments that you live every single day? Whether it's at work, whether it's driving is a moment that you are in life. And I hate to remind you this, brothers and sisters, but that is a moment in life in which, last I checked, you're a Christian while you're behind the wheel also.
Amen.
I'm pretty sure, even though it's not written in the Bible, because I didn't have cars but at that time, but you are still a Christian while you're behind the wheel. Hello? Don't forget that. A lot of us want to, but we don't forget it. So here's the scenario, and back to the scenario, is the car that's in the very front decides to let all these people turn and go. Well, the car that's right in front of me, that's right behind them, decides to let them know that they were doing the wrong thing. And how did he let them know that they were doing the wrong thing? First it was a, and he had a nice, it was a really nice car. I think it was a Buick or Cadillac or something. It was a sharp looking car. Really loud horn. That wasn't you, was it, Craig? No. Okay, no. I know your cars. That wasn't you. I know. That might have been one of you guys. I don't know. And then it was, the person just did not really respond to the blowing of the horn. And then what happened? It was like, whoa, dude, man. I almost got out of my truck and was like, hey, is there something wrong? Do you need to call 911 or something? I mean, something's really wrong here. And then lo and behold, here's what I want us to understand is, as they turn and finally they let all the cars go and everybody gets to go. You know, they had to wait about 4 or 5 seconds longer. But everybody got to go. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got in a wreck. Nobody had to wait at another red light or anything like that. And I look on the back of their car. Guess what I see? A fish, a Christian fish. And I thought to myself, way to go. Way to go. That's, you know what? I thought about a whole lot of things to do, and the Lord stopped me from all of them. Every single one of them, because there's a lot of things that came to my mind. And then as I get down the road a little farther, it's a husband and wife, and I could see it or hear the bickering going on. But I don't think she let him get away with that. He got his. I want to share a verse with you because I think this speaks to even us as a group of a body of believers. And then I'm going to share some other stuff that I think goes deeper than what the meaning of all of what we're doing here today is. John 14:34, he says this, "A new commandment I give to you." And this is Jesus speaking this, and he says this, why did he say it's a new commandment that I give to you? And was there an old commandment? Was there one that was in place that he had to redo or not? But here's what I believe, this is my interpretation of what he's sharing here. This new commandment that I give to you, he says that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know, because here's the thing that I think that even as I let's go back to that scenario with the driver. That one with the fish on the back of their car was living by the old commandment, which is one that says, I've got to let you know if you're doing wrong. In fact, I've got to, it's more important for me because I now represent God. And as I represent God, my representation of God is to let everybody know when they screw up, when they blow it, when they do wrong, when they misstep. Because that's what the old commandment says to do. let's let everybody know when they blow it by blowing our horn at them. And he says, this new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And if when we look at what Jesus' life was, how it represented in things that he did, people that he ran across, people that he was got into some pretty intense conversations with, his first intention was never to let them know where they misstepped, where they screwed up was. What was his first intention to do? It was always to be a representative of God's love to that person, whoever he was in face of, whoever he was in front of. That was his first intention. And that always was. And this is what Jesus is charging us to do. And then he says at verse 35, which is really cool, he says, by this, what is this? Hey, if you're a Christian, if you identify, put a nice little fish on the back of your car, this is that one thing that you are to do that lets everybody know that you're a follower of God. That you let everybody know how they drive wrong. Is that the this that Jesus is talking about? How about if you let everybody know that they have a wrong belief system entirely about who you are and what the things that you are? If you let everybody know that you need to be a part of this and have this certain belief system and that you got to have God fit in this nice little box, and not only does he got to fit in this nice little box, but you've got to look like this. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Is that the this that he's referring to? Hey, hello? Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just only got one or two responding. I got to make sure you guys are... Nobody's chatting. Okay. Uh-oh. This that he's referring to is your love for one another. That's not too complicated, is it? This, all will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. That's why when we run across situations, and not just run across them, but man, when they just come into our lives, when you go to bed one night, when everything seems to be okay, and then you wake up and everything's not, this is what is required here and now at this time, is that we have love for one another, that we have understanding, that we have compassion, that there's nothing in us that says, that passes any judgment, that looks at anything and does anything but simply love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples. You guys, are you hearing that loud and clear this morning?
Yeah.
By this, love for one another is going to be the identification, it's going to be the tag that you are going to have that says, I am a follower of Jesus because I love those that are hurting, those that are struggling right now, those that need Jesus more than ever right now. That's what I need to be. That's what's going to identify you as a follower of Jesus. Not that you point out, well, boy, something must have been going wrong there. Something must have been going wrong there. Is that the this that Jesus is talking about? That wasn't very responsive. I need to say, was that the this that Jesus is... Absolutely not. It's the love for one another, my friends. It's the love for one another. And it's the only option that we have as followers of Christ right now. And I'm going to tell you that is... And so... then the thought comes, the question is asked, is where is your heart in it? Where is your heart in this matter with Donna and Alfonso and family? Is it love?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, and this is so encouraging, because if you read the entire book of 1 John, it's only 5 chapters long, it's really simple to read. Read the entire book of 1 John. Over and over and over again, he's expressing the value of, and he does not mince the words even. He says, if your love for God is real, it will be expressed in love for one another.
Amen.
Bottom line. If you don't have love for one another, you do not have the love of God in you. He does not mince words. And I'm asking us today, if that's something that you need to examine your heart and say, if there's judgment coming out of your heart, it's not love, and it's not the love of God. repent of it, get right with God, and ask God's love to just be poured into your heart so that you can be that. And be that example. Be that which is, God says, and Jesus is saying, is an identifier to my disciple. Somebody that has love for one another. You guys hearing me on that? And I'm sharing that. The reason I'm sharing that so, what's the word?
Emphatically.
Yes, because I'm their pastor. And as a pastor, I'm their shepherd. And as a shepherd just does not lead. A shepherd corrals and guards. I'm guarding their hearts right now with everything that's in me. Everything that's in me. If you want to get to them, if you want to be used by the enemy of them, you got to go through me first.
Amen.
And it's not going to be easy to go through me.
Amen.
And I mean that, I got to turn around. Woo! Okay, I'm good. And I mean that. I just said that. Almost makes me nervous. I got to share some stuff. Now I got to share some stuff. Because this is what the Lord's been... Some people have asked and expressed, how do we pray? How do we pray? What do we do? Because it's such a difficult thing to even process. And you know what? It's so encouraging. There's so many people in our fellowship right here and right now that have been through something so similar. And God is so real, so compassionate, so merciful, that He's put people around us in our midst that understand, that can help them go through this. And I know that they are going to be that which helps others go through this and watch through this very same thing. It's really encouraging to me how real that we are, how real that a family is, that we could take a day today, we can take a moment, and we could stop and we could say, I'm going to do everything I can to pray and to love on this family. That's real. That's real church. Right?
Yeah.
It's not my agenda. It's not Glenn's agenda. It's not anybody. It's not Mike's agenda. It's none of our agendas. It's God being real to us, the body of Christ. A body that is connected to each other. Loving on each other, supporting each other. So I'm going to share some stuff that I feel like the Lord is directing and giving me as their pastor to help them work through this. And this is something that's really kind of cool. I can't get away from it. And as I researched this theme in the Bible that the Lord gave me as a prayer for them, it starts out in Psalm 57. So as I'm sharing this, I'm encouraging you to steal it from me. Use it as a prayer for them. Okay? I give you permission. but it's really not from me. So I'm just passing it along. Psalm 57, it says this. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me." That's David's cry twice. "For my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by." Here's the picture that the Lord has been giving me as a prayer for them, is that in the midst of these calamity that is in their lives, that as they and us rest in the loving arms of God, His loving arms become wings that cast a shadow, and as they cast this shadow, it's a covering, but not just a covering, what do wings do when they are spread out? What is their goal? What is their intention? While a wing of an eagle, say, that is spread out, what is it doing? It's flying. It's being lifted up. And that's what my prayer is, that the wings that are casting a shadow, there's this lifting up, and as they rest in the peace of God, that the wings of God are going to be lifting them up above the calamity to give them a peace that only God can give, a rest that only God can give, a hope that only God can give. And it's above and beyond the calamity that is actually holding them. Even, and it's almost as though they're getting caught up in the draft of God's wings. That's a cool picture that God gave me, and I think that's exactly what we need to be praying for them. Lord, catch them up in God's draft of your wings. In the draft of your wings, catch them up and lift them up above the calamity that is going on here and now. In Jesus' name. That is an okay prayer to pray. Amen? And then I'm just going to talk about some scriptures, and if anybody wants to share for a minute, I'm going to give them an opportunity. Verse 7 of Psalm 57, it says, "My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast." David's cry twice, "Be merciful," and then his cry twice to say, "My heart is steadfast. It's leaning on you. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." Hallelujah. I'm going to go to another passage of scripture. It's Psalm 36, I'm sorry. It says, this is pretty awesome. "How precious is," and then another translation words it, "how priceless." I kind of like the word that says priceless. "How precious and priceless," we'll use both, "is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men, they put their trust under the shadow of your wings. For they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." Amen. And then another passage of scripture in Psalm 91. Says he, this verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." In verse 4 it says, "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler." Ha ha! Oh, that's a good one, right? Your shield, you know what a buckler is? Oh, it's a really cool piece of armor. It's this piece that just covers your hand, and it's a shield that it's really a small piece of a shield that it's more for defending anything that comes quick and right to the heart of you, because it's something that you could hold. It's only a small piece that covers your heart actually, and you can wield it precisely and quickly. Because it's small. And he says, "I will be your shield and your buckler." Something that's small, like a boom, boom, right? And that's what Alfonso says he does with the shield. He goes, boom, boom, boom. I like that. You guys ever had that conversation with him?
Yeah.
If you haven't, just have it.
Yeah.
He'll be around all week. Come to our study on Tuesday night. Maybe that'll be a fun time. Yeah. Let me read a few more verses out of this passage, and then I'm going to share something else. He says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him in honor and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." There's a passage in Romans I'm going to share, but I'm going to go this. You know, we call sorrow a shadow sometimes, don't we? A darkness. We call sorrow, it's like I'm in a darkness, I'm in a shadow. Hello?
Yeah.
Are they still with you?
Yeah.
And we talk about it sometimes as it like falling upon us or taking over us. And it sometimes can be even described as like it's a deep thing that I can't describe, but it's something I feel. And here's what I want us to maybe let's process it this way and perceive it like this. It can seem like all the light of earth, all the light is obscured or darkened or taken away to where we feel almost hopeless because we feel like it's just overtaking us. What if that darkness is the shadow of God's wings that's actually holding us steadfastly in His love and arms? What if sometimes that darkness can seem like it's just overwhelming, and it's really God's reaching shadow of His wings that's holding us? I believe Donna asked a good question. Does it have a feeling that goes with it? Let me finish, because I do believe it does. I believe it can. And I spoke a few weeks ago about how God doesn't coddle our hopelessness. In other words, when we feel hopeless and we feel dark and we feel like we're in this place that there is no answer to, He doesn't answer to that, because that's not a place that His presence exists. So when we step out of that and we look into Him and we look into the light, even if it's dim, there's a place that can have an emotional lifting. That's got to be Him doing it. So the answer is yes, but the answer is not an easy yes. In other words, the answer is yes to, there's a feeling that can come with it of hope, but it's got to be in Him, and it's got to look at Him. If we look at our circumstances and we look at and we get swallowed up in that circumstance, which it can swallow us if we allow it, then the feeling of despair can overtake us if we allow it. And I said it a few weeks ago because I felt like it was from the Lord, and don't lose it, is that feeling and that place that of a mindset that we can go to sometimes is not a place that we are to become it's not to become a state of being. Hopelessness is not a state of being. It's real. It's very real. I'm not going to deny it. It's like it's all just buck up and just, you know, have happy thoughts. Oh, come on. That's just, we're not that kind of church. We're just not there, because I don't think it's scriptural. I don't think it's right. Because as I look at David's cries of mercy, mercy, help me, of despair, they're real cries. They're real cries. And as he looks to God for his hope and for his light of life, that's where he finds, in the midst of the cry, an answer to his hope. And David was one who lost children, who lost friends, he lost family, he lost wives. Wives. Linda, are you going to share something?
When you were saying that, we've been in our women's class talking about resting, but what I just experienced with moving the store, and but to me it was overwhelming to me. And when you were talking about God was with me, my first feeling was
fear.
I didn't really understand it. I did none of that, and I until I began to soak in what God wants to do, and I began to settle in and rest in Him, what He had for me, and put my trust in Him, I settled down and I was able to then be okay. But
amen.
Before that, it was like a fight. It was a fight.
Amen. And it was very real.
Yeah.
I will testify to it. It was a very real fight. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
I remember when I was, this was 13 years ago, I was sitting on the rooftop in Reno at my friend's house, and I was hopeless. I was at the point where...
Hold on. I might need to, like, have you have this for a second. Can you get him, Andrew, real quick? Don't push buttons,
I was in Reno, and I was sitting on the rooftop in my friend's house, and at the time I was not in the right spot. I was using drugs, and I was at the point where death was entertaining, because it seemed like that was the best hope. It seemed like that was the best answer to get the freedom, the escape from all that overcoming and overwhelmingness that was on my life at the time, and it was a lot of stuff that I invited into my life. But as I was sitting there, I cried out to God. It was that, and it was that mercy that just blanketed me. It was like those wings that just wrapped around me. And it, he reached down and touched my heart. And at that point, I knew that things were going to probably be all right. And I just knew that I just always wanted that feeling. I didn't want anything else. All that other stuff, God's mercy and the wrapping of his wings, just it reached a place that no man could reach.
Amen.
It reached only
Amen.
Where he can.
Amen. 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 Oh. So what seems to be dark, what seems to be gloomy, very well is a shadow of God's wings. But the darkness is only the darkening of earth's dim light. That really isn't a light after all. Because when I read this, it says, he says that he gives light to the light. So there's a phony light, and there's an earth light, a worldly light, a fleshly light that is not light at all. And it's a hope and stuff that is of this earth and of this world and of this now and here. That's not light. And he says that in what he's doing in this, what seems to be a darkness, he's dimming that light so that heaven's light may shine about us. Sorrow for a Christian is not God's withdrawal. It is his nearer coming. He's drawing closer to our sorrow. We shall never know how warm and soft a place there is beneath the wings of his love until we creep there out of earth's nights and blast of this storm. That's J.R. Miller, by the way, I was quoting. That wasn't my writing. You guys probably thought it was. And I want to share something. In this world, if we nestle into it, settle into it, as it were something that gives us hope, that's where hope crumbles, because there is no hope in things that are temporary and things that are not real. What is more real and what is eternal, that's what we put our hope in. That's who we put our hope in. And his name is Jesus. It's always been Jesus, and it always will be Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let me share one last thing, and I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Romans that I think speaks more to this than anything else. J.R. Miller writes this, and it's actually an article that he writes and called In the Shadow of God's Wings. It says, there is a refuge beneath the wings of God. There is a refuge there because it is the mercy place. It is the mercy place. Under the wings of the cherubim was the mercy seat. And I did a teaching about 3 or 4 years ago on the mercy seat. And that mercy seat is, guess who? Jesus. Jesus is the mercy seat. Because in him is where we find mercy, God's mercy, that is. In Christ is where God's mercy settles. In Christ is where God's mercy is, where God's judgment comes upon so that his mercy can supersede his judgment. I got to share something with you that I feel like I cannot stop sharing it as long as I live now. We've got a really, really good deal. I don't know if you guys realize this or not. I hope we do. And I don't even think I may even touch on the tip of it. But I think we've got a really, really good deal. Because there's, you know what I'm going to tell you this is, you guys are all perfect. Every one of you are perfect. But let me tell you what you're perfect at. Sinning. You're perfect at sinning. That's the only thing that you do really, really good. And you do. And in our perfect sin, we have got an advocate, and his name is Jesus. He came because of his love for us, and solely for his love for us, to surrender his life for us so that we can have communion and right relationship with a loving God. And in his surrender of his life, his actual perfect sinless life, Now, all we have to do, this is the good deal of the century, of eternity. It's that all we have to do is say yes to that deal and agree to it. I mean, what kind of a deal is that? There's nothing, there's no good car deal, phone deal, bank deal out there that all we got to do is say yes to something that he did and just agree to it. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read this passage in Romans, and if there's anybody else that would like to share a testimony, I'm going to open it up to that, and then we're going to worship the Lord some more. Romans chapter 8, starting verse 31. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. I want you to listen to this. Stano and Alfonso, Lily, Bear, can you see my lips? He'll put it up on the board for Bear. So what are we... Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to read it in a translation that's different than the board. It's the Common English Version. Common English Bible. That's different because it words it different because I like this wording of it. It says, so what, I don't know if you have it back there, Michael, but put something up there. Don't go away. Even if it's the wrong version. Not the wrong one, a different one. Verse 31 of chapter 8 says, so what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also freely give us all things with him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised, and who also is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Wow! Wow! Who will separate us from Christ's love? Who will be separated? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, and this is why I like this translation, because it words it this way, all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. We are more than conquerors. We win a sweeping victory. That means there's no loss. There's not even an ounce of loss. We are conquerors and more than conquerors. And I am convinced, this is Paul writing, I am convinced, and so am I. I agree with you, Paul, on this one, brother. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death, not life, not angels, not rulers, not anything present or anything future. Not powers, nor height, or depth, or any other thing that is created can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Testimony? God is good. No, I said God is good. Amen. And all the time? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Lord.
Thank you for... Amen. Yes, Jesus. Yes.
Testimony, I just want to share.
Lori, wait, you can't share without a mic.
Billy, we love you. We want to hear what you want to share.
Well, just talk. Am I talking?
Yes,
I'm talking. Okay. At the lowest, one of the lowest times of my life, the Lord gave me scripture, and I've always had a hard time remembering scripture, but he put it clearly on my heart, and then I turned it into a prayer. So this is our prayer.
Amen. Well, let us pray it then. Pray, lead us in that prayer.
Lord, I will trust you with all of my heart, and lean not on my own understanding. And I know that you will direct my paths. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let us worship the Lord. So Mike, are you up here already?
Yep, he is.
And that when we finish, when we're done, we're going to worship the Lord for another few minutes. And just love on each other. Let the... Yes. I don't know where the mic went, but...